Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Three Tune Tuesday. I am your host, Bonaparte, and today we're embarking on a journey to a time when the phonograph reigned supreme, and the art of recording was still in its infancy. Today's Tuesday, October the 8th, and you've turned into our digital cottage, a quiet corner in the vast expanse of the internet, where we explore the roots of early recorded music. So imagine, if you will, settling into a large, comfortable chair, the cup of your favorite drink beside you, as we turn our attention to the sounds of 1920. Our focus today is on Pathé Records, a label that played a role in shaping the early 20th century music industry. We have three recordings from you today from Pathé's catalog, each from 1920, and each offers a window into not just the popular music of the time, but also the innovative spirit of Pathé Records. Founded in Paris in 1894 by the brothers Charles and Émile Pathé, Pathé Records quickly became a titan in the early recording industry, expanding from early phonograph cylinders to later shellac disc records and even into film production. What truly set Pathé apart in those early days was their innovative approach to recording and playback. Unlike most of their competitors, who used the lateral cut method of recording records, Pathé employed a vertical cut, or hill and dale, recording technique. This method created grooves of varying depth rather than side-to-side variations, which ultimately became the standard. The hill and dale technique originated earlier with Edison's cylinder recordings, which were all performed with a vertical cut, but now applied to shellac disc records. And to further complement the unique recording method, Pathé also developed a specialized sapphire ball stylus for playback. This was in contrast to the steel needles that Victor and Columbia used. This sapphire needle tracked the vertical undulations in the record groove, translating them into sound, the way that a steel needle would on any other record player or phonograph of the time. But really interesting, adding to their distinctiveness, Pathé Records played the records from the center outwards, the opposite of most other records, which were starting from the edge and moving inward, which is how vinyl records work today. So while the technology was ultimately superseded, it showcased Pathé's willingness to experiment and to push the boundaries of sound reproduction. And their commitment to this method lasted into the 1920s, even as other companies had moved on to other, different, ultimately more standard techniques. By 1920, the year that our recordings here today were made, Pathé had established itself as a player in the global music market. They had recording studios not just in Paris, but in London, Milan, and New York to capture a wide array of musical styles and artists. Their vertical cut records were sold worldwide, although ultimately they did begin to produce lateral cut records primarily for the US to compete with Victor and Columbia. The music landscape of 1920 was one of exciting transition. The world was just really beginning to emerge from the shadow of World War I and enter the exuberant era that we now call the Roaring Twenties. Jazz was beginning to take hold, dancing was becoming more freeform, and recording technology was allowing for more nuanced captures of sound. It was in this dynamic environment that Pathé was operating, bringing the sounds of the day to their listeners. Their catalogs featured everything from classical performances to the latest dance crazes, and all preserved for us a sonic snapshot of the era at the time. So keep this context in mind as we begin to listen to our first song, which is April Showers Bring May Flowers by the Van Epps Quartet. The recording, like the others that we have today, was recorded in 1920, and it represents not just a popular tune of the day, but also the culmination of decades of innovations in sound recording. The Van Epps Quartet was led by none other than Fred Van Epps, and they were a fixture in the early recording industry, known for their precise musicianship and ability to adapt to the technical constraints of early recording equipment. Fred Van Epps himself was a banjo virtuoso, often called the Joe Venuti of the banjo. He began recording as early as 1897 and continued well into the electrical recording era. The Van Epps Quartet typically consisted of Fred on banjo, his brother Bill Van Epps on guitar, and other rotating musicians on other instruments such as piano or a woodwind. April Showers Bring May Flowers is an example of the popular music of 1920. It's upbeat, it's cheerful, and it reflects the optimism of the post-World War I era, as people were looking forward to better times ahead. The song's title and theme, The Promise of Beauty After Hardship, resonated with audiences, emerging from the challenges of the previous years of the late 1910s. Stylistically, this piece sits at an interesting crossroads in musical history. While it retains elements of the ragtime era in its rhythms, you can also hear hints of the jazz age beginning to emerge, the interplay between the instruments. The Van Epps Quartet's arrangement showcases each instrument, allowing listeners to appreciate both the individual performances and the tight ensemble work. Pathé Records played a role in promoting ensemble recordings such as this. In the acoustic recording era, capturing a balanced sound from multiple instruments was a significant technical challenge. Pathé's vertical cut recording method, which we had mentioned earlier, was particularly well suited for recording ensembles. It allowed for a wider dynamic range and better bass response compared to some contemporary lateral cut methods of the time, giving a fuller, more natural sound to group performances. Moreover, Pathé's commitment to high-quality pressings and their wide distribution network meant that recordings like April Showers Bring May Flowers could reach a broad audience. This helped popularize the sound of small ensembles and paved the way for the jazz combos that would come to dominate much of the 1920s popular music. So as you listen to the song, pay attention to the interplay between the banjo and the other instruments. Notice how the vertical cut recording captures the depth of the performance, from the crisp highs of the banjo to the lower registers of the accompanying instruments. This is the sound of a new decade in music, brought to us through the innovative technology of Pathé Records. Thank you. Before we dive into our next selection from 1920, let's take a moment to talk about the fuel that keeps the show brewing, quite literally. Skeleton Brew Coffee, which is the sister company that supports Blind Skeleton and makes Three Tune Tuesday possible. Just as Pathé Records was committed to quality in their recordings, Skeleton Brew is dedicated to bringing you top-notch coffee experiences. They deal exclusively in specialty-grade coffee, ensuring every cup is as fresh and as awesome as it can be. Whether you prefer your coffee light or darker, Skeleton Brew has you covered with six standard roasts ranging from light to dark. And just like how we ensure our musical selections are ethically sourced from history, Skeleton Brew ensures all their coffee is ethically sourced as well, supporting fair practices in the coffee industry. And as we're heading into the holiday season, Skeleton Brew is offering something special. They've crafted three holiday blends that will add some festive cheer to your mornings. But that's not all. They've also put together a Yule special. The special comprises all three holiday blend coffees and comes with a charming book titled "'Twas the Night Before Yule." The best part is that $5 from each sale of each of these bundles goes to support the Internet Archive, helping preserve digital history, much like we preserve musical history on the show. So if you'd like to support our show, support the Internet Archive, and treat yourself to some excellent coffee, head on over to https://skeletonbrew.coffee. Use the code TUNE10, that's TUNE10, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. It's the perfect way to enjoy a warm brew while listening to these cool old tunes. It also makes a fantastic Christmas gift. So now let's get back to our musical journey through 1920 with Pathé Records. And our next song up for the day is "Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me," performed by Rudy Weedoft and his Californians. Rudy Weedoft was a name that loomed large in the world of popular music in the 1920s, though he's less well known today as some of his contemporaries are. Weedoft was a virtuoso saxophonist who played a role in popularizing the saxophone as a lead instrument. Born in Detroit in 1893, Weedoft began his career playing clarinet, but switched to the saxophone in the 1910s, just as the instrument was beginning to gain prominence. Weedoft's Californians were not a fixed group, but rather a rotating ensemble of musicians who recorded with him. The group's name reflected the growing cultural cache of California in the national imagination, associating their music with the glamour and excitement of the West Coast. The song, "Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me," is a perfect example of the transitional period in popular music that 1920 represented. While it's billed as a blues, to our modern ears it might sound more like a ragtime or early jazz piece. This reflects the fluid nature of musical categories in the period, as blues, jazz, and ragtime were all intermingling and influencing each other. The song's catchy melody and lyrics about romantic troubles were typical of the popular songs of the day. But what really sets this particular version of the song apart is Weedoft's saxophone work. His fluid, melodic style helped to establish the saxophone as a serious lead instrument in popular music, paving the way for the great jazz saxophonists who would follow in the coming decades. Pathé's role in recording and distributing pieces like this was crucial to the development of jazz and blues. Their willingness to record a wide variety of styles and their technical innovations allowed them to capture the energy and nuance of these new forms of music. The company's vertical cut recording method was particularly well suited to capturing the rich, full-bodied tone of the saxophone, helping to showcase Weedoft's virtuosic playing. Moreover, Pathé's international reach meant that recordings like this could find audiences far beyond the urban centers where jazz and blues were developing. This helped to spread these new musical styles, contributing to their growing popularity throughout the 1920s. So as we listen to the song, pay attention to the saxophone. Notice how it takes center stage, which was a novel approach at the time. The clear, present sound of the saxophone in this recording is a testament both to Weedoff's skill as a performer and to Pathé's innovative recording techniques. Before we dive into our final musical selection today from Pathé's 1920 catalog, I'd like to take a moment to share some updates from the Blind Skeleton world. First, if you visited our website recently at blindskeleton.one, you might have noticed some changes. We've been working to improve your experience, making it easier to navigate through all of our content. If you haven't checked it out lately, I encourage you to do so. You might discover some hidden gems that you hadn't noticed before. And speaking of gems, I'd like to announce that we have an in-depth blog post coming up about Pathé Records to complement our podcast today. If you're intrigued by what you're hearing today and want to learn more about Pathé, keep an eye out for the post. We'll be dropping it on the website on Wednesday, tomorrow. We'll be diving deeper into Pathé's history, their innovative recording techniques, and their lasting impact on the music industry. It's a fascinating story of technology and artistry that I think you'll enjoy. And here's something I'm particularly excited about. For the entire month of October, we're embracing the spooky season in a very Blind Skeleton way. Every Friday, we'll be reviewing classic silent horror movies. These films are the grandparents of modern horror, and they have a unique charm all on their own that I really think you'll appreciate. From German expressionist masterpieces to early American chillers, we'll be exploring the roots of cinematic fear. It's a perfect way to get into the Halloween spirit while also appreciating some groundbreaking filmmaking Our most recent review was an early recording of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, starring none other than John Barrymore. If you want to make sure that you don't miss on any of this content, such as the Pathé Records deep dive, our silent horror reviews, or any of the other explorations into the fascinating world of early 20th century culture, I highly recommend joining the mailing list. It's the best way to stay up to date with all things Blind Skeleton. You'll get early access to content, and you'll also get a special gift, the Vintage Lover's Guide to Coffee. You can sign up for the mailing list right on our website at blindskeleton.one. It's quick, easy, and the best way to ensure you're part of our journey through the hidden corners of history. Now let's return to 1920 and listen to our final Pathé recording of the day. Our final recording of the day is Hold Me, performed by the All-Star Trio. The All-Star Trio was, true to its name, a group composed of some of the most skilled and popular musicians of the era. The core members were George Hamilton Green on xylophone, F. Wheeler Wadsworth on saxophone, and Frank Banta on piano. These three were often joined by other musicians, creating a sound that was both polished and exciting. George Green, in particular, was a xylophone master who helped elevate the instrument's status in popular music. His fast, intricate playing added a distinctive flair to their performances. Meanwhile, F. Wheeler Wadsworth's saxophone work and Frank Banta's piano playing rounded out the group's sound, creating a really good blend for the upbeat dance tunes of the day. Hold Me is a prime example of the type of music that was filling dance halls across America in 1920. The song's lively tempo and catchy melody were designed to get people out on the dance floor. This was the era of the foxtrot, the quickstep, and the beginnings of the Charleston, and music like Hold Me provided the soundtrack for these new energetic dance styles. The popularity of dance music in 1920 cannot be overstated. Not only was the world emerging from World War I, it was also emerging from a devastating influenza pandemic, and there was a strong desire for joy and celebration. Dance music offered an escape, a way to embrace life and movement after years of hardship. Records like Hold Me allowed people to bring that dance hall energy into their homes, fueling small gatherings and parties. This recording represents not just a popular tune, but a cultural phenomenon, the rise of social dancing as a defining feature of the Roaring Twenties. It's a snapshot of a moment when music, technology, and social trends aligned to create something new and exciting. Thank you. as we draw our musical journey through 1920 to a close, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've discovered about Pathé Records. With its vertical cut recording method and sapphire ball stylus, Pathé Records stood at the forefront of audio technology in 1920. Their commitment to quality and willingness to experiment allowed them to capture the nuances of a rapidly evolving musical scene. And our three songs of the day, April Showers Bring May Flowers, Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me, and Hold Me, offer a window into the diverse sounds of 1920. We've heard the lingering influences of ragtime and the emerging voice of early jazz, as well as the pull of dance music. We've listened to a society emerging from the shadows of war and pandemic, eager to embrace joy and celebration. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Thank you for listening and spending some time with me to listen to these wonderful old tunes. I am, as always, your host Bonaparte, bidding you a good night and good day from my digital cottage in the sprawling digital countryside. Remember, in the whirlwind of modern world, there's always a place here by the fire where the music plays on, timeless and true.